Breaking news, the Department of Justice sues John Bolton to prevent the publication of national security classified information.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
For those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope, if you're listening on radio, you can hear it. This is the lawsuit filed by the United States of America, U.S. Attorney's Office, Department of Justice, versus John Bolton in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia, an action to prevent defendant Bolton, a former national security advisor, from compromising national security by publishing a book containing classified information in clear breach of agreements he signed as a condition of his employment, as in a condition of gaining access to highly classified information, and in clear breach of the trust placed with him by the United States government. Bolton wants to publish this book on the 23rd, and this seeks to prevent that publication. Again, we are not talking about someone writing a book about their experience 20 years after the fact. We're talking about someone writing a book about being the national security advisor and about national security events, Dad, in a current administration.
Yeah, so this is a contemporary report, or evidently, I've not seen the book, a contemporary account of conversations he had with the president, but also a contemporary involvement with what appears to be, at least according to the government, a national security information, classified information that cannot be released. And Ambassador Bolton has made the determination with his publisher that regardless of that fact, even though it was going through what's called a pre-review clearance, that he was going to go ahead and publish this book on June 23rd, whether it was cleared or not. That at that point, the Department of Justice had no choice but to bring an action to seek the delay of that distribution until the national security information is clarified. I don't think it's that complicated of a case. I mean, it's that straightforward. Now, there's obviously, anytime you're dealing with publications and First Amendment activities, those are big issues. But here, when you're dealing with national security issues, that is the overriding factor. Let me go to Andy on this. Andy, that's the overriding factor. When you've got, you know, prior restraints are very hard to get. In other words, having something stopped from publication. But the overriding factor here, at least, appears to be the fact that there's national security data in here.
Well, that's exactly right, Jay. I've read the complaint several times because I wanted to not only get the gist of it, but really get into it. And the government says in the complaint very clearly, our intent is not to censor the publication or to squelch any First Amendment rights that Bolton may have in talking about things, but to make sure in a pre-publication review, which is ongoing and which he wants to short circuit, to make sure that top secret information, sensitive intelligence information that he and maybe only he has gotten is not disseminated to the detriment of the United States. And he just decided on his own through his lawyer that it's just taken too long and forget it. I'm just going to go forward with publication. And Simon & Schuster's publisher have printed, bound the volumes, and they're ready to go. He put the government in a corner. It couldn't do anything else.
You know, what's interesting, too, you look at the timeline of John Bolton. This was someone, again, I think the president is always open to having people as his advisors who may not share his opinions so that there is a free flow of ideas, and you got to be pretty tough to do that. And John Bolton seemed to be that kind of type that, of course, was more of an interventionist, and President Trump was not. But what we know from the timeline is that John Bolton was pushing President Trump to go to full-scale war with Iran, and President Trump did not want to do that. Of course, we eliminated ISIS, and then the withdrawal of from Syria that took place, a lot of those issues as well. This was, another foreign policy dispute, but he wants to share classified info. What do you think about this? And by the way, he tried to embrace, get this, John Bolton trying to embrace the ACLU. What did the ACLU have to say about that? We'll have that for you when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live. But can you believe that? John Bolton trying to join up with the ACLU? What happened there? 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Jay Sekio Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll also update you, and then we'll provide that from Capitol Hill, because Senator Scott has put forward that legislation in the U.S. Senate, the Justice Act. That, again, comes and coincides with the president signing the executive order yesterday. Now a legislation that's actually being fast-tracked for police reform in the U.S. Senate. And a lot of this thought is that Mitch McConnell, the leader of the U.S. Senate, and of course a Republican, is trying to put a lot of pressure on Democrats to get this done. Say, hey, you want to get something done? Let's get it done. We've got a bipartisan bill we can vote on right now. Let's get it done. So we'll get an update from Than on that in a minute. But we want to start taking your calls. What do you think about this? You join an administration as National Security Advisor on April 9th, 2018. You get the highest level of classified clearance, national security clearance, highest level. You can see the nation's the top information. You then lose your position on September 2019. And now, in June of 2020, you want to write a book about all of it. And about all the national security things you saw and classified information you saw. And by the way, you wrote it in a way, as the DOJ stated, that was such a narrative form that it was nearly impossible or impossible to actually to take out and edit, which these books always have to go through that process. John Bolton knows that. He's not disputing that. But the way that he wrote the book was written in a way where it would be impossible to edit out the classified information without basically having to rewrite the entire book. And they're saying, Department of Justice, they've got to have more time to try and fix this so that he can publish the book he wants to do. But, Dad, he tried to embrace the ACLU. I want to get people's thoughts on this. 1-800-684-3110. Let's put the first tweet up on the screen. This is from John Bolton yesterday. Please see the ACLU statement on my upcoming book release. And the ACLU said 50 years ago, SCOTUS rejected the Nixon administration's attempt to block the Pentagon Papers. Any Trump administration effort to stop John Bolton's book is doomed to fail. So he tried to embrace the ACLU. Well, didn't last long. The ACLU, and let me see exactly how long. 3 hours later, here's the second tweet from the ACLU. Let's put that up on the screen. Good job, John Bolton. Thought you could, change sides that quickly with the ACLU. They wrote this, Dad: "Now that we have your attention, Ambassador John Bolton, please also see the ACLU statement on your atrocious human rights record." And then went on to write, "As National Security Advisor, Ambassador Bolton threatened the ICC over its investigations into the U.S. war crimes in Afghanistan, celebrated when survivors were denied the opportunity to hold their torturers accountable. We didn't forget at the ACLU." So he tried to become Mr. ACLU, Dad. That did not last long.
No, and I agree with him about the ICC. I think the ICC, we were there fighting that off, if you remember, back in December, actually in court at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. So I agree with Ambassador Bolton that the ICC misuses its jurisdiction. That's been the consistent position of the American Center for Law and Justice. But what's fascinating here is this book went through a series of review, and when you review the complaint, there are numerous times where Ambassador Bolton does, in fact, take information out or redrafts that information because even though he originally did it this way, there was classified information in it. Now, there's concern that there still is classified information. There's also concern, Andy, that this information has been shared with other individuals, including book publishers and editors and lawyers, that may not have had security clearance.
That's right. The complaint indicates that he may have already shared and disclosed information that he should not have disclosed to his publisher, to people who have read the manuscript and who have seen it. Bolton should have known that that was wrong, that he's a Yale Law School graduate. It's not that he's not well-versed in the law. And so the government had no choice but to say, look, we want a constructive trust imposed on any profits that you make and out of the selling of this book, because you have shared parts of it that you should not have shared with people that you should not have shared it with. So, well, you know, this is a lawsuit brought in three counts. Very simple, Jay. Breach of contract and fiduciary duty. You broke your contract with the government. You had a duty of good faith and proper dealing with the government. That's what fiduciary duty means. And you breached and broke those duties, and you have to pay the consequences of it, both by having your book not published until the pre-publication review is done and giving the United States the benefit of any monetary rewards that you get from this publication.
So it's basically an action both in equity, stopping the publication of the book, but also for damages. Is that right, Andy?
That's right. It's damages and contract. Contract damages, which is a legal remedy, and a breach of fiduciary duty, which is an equitable remedy. It's a well-drafted complaint, finally done in the best tradition of the United States Attorney's Office. I got to say, I was impressed reading it, the clarity of it, the flow of it, the narrative, and how it was done. It stated a cause of action.
And no question. I think it was well done. It's very direct on what it's asking for. It's very specific on what it's asking for. No one's saying the book cannot ultimately be published, but it can't be published with classified information. And by the way, as the president said, conversations that he had with the president are also privileged.
That's right. When you read through the brief, I mean, this is just, it makes a lot of sense, I think, to people to listen to this. And a lot of times legal briefs don't. You can't just like read them out and say, okay, you'll understand what I'm talking about. Here you will. As a condition of his appointment, and to permit him access to classified information, defendant, that's John Bolton, entered into and signed a classified information non-disclosure agreement titled a Standard Form 312. Defendant also entered into and signed two sensitive compartmented information non-disclosure agreements, each titled a Standard Form 4414. As noted in these NDAs, unauthorized disclosure of classified information is also illegal and can result in criminal penalties. And signing these, he did this, by the way, and they note that he's an attorney, that he did this voluntarily, willingly, and knowingly, and that this was a condition of him being granted access to classified information and to have the job as National Security Advisor. Dad, I do also want to, I guess, we'll talk about it in a minute, too, and maybe with Andy, the executive privilege idea, Andy, and we'll start taking more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, because we're not just talking about broad executive privilege, Andy. We're talking about, this is someone, as is explained also in the brief, whose job is to advise the president on national security and foreign policy matters and assist the president on carrying out his national security policies, the president's policies, what he ultimately decides to do. That's not just broad executive, authority. I mean, you're talking about, again, the deliberative privilege there. This is like the definition of the deliberative privilege, this entire job that John Bolton had.
I mean, there's no more sensitive job, I would say, in the government of the United States than being the national security advisor to the president. Used to be called the assistant to the president for national security affairs or matters. I mean, this is the person who has the in to every secret in the United States that protects this nation or that could expose this nation to danger in his head, in his body. He's got that information, and he discussed it with the unitary chief executive of the United States, the president. Where in the world do you think you are going by putting this stuff in something he calls, subtitled this book, a White House memoir? Where do you think you're going with this without having pre-publication review? Don't they teach contracts at Yale? Did they forget to teach him that course, or did he skip it? You know, fiduciary duty, your duty of good faith. Where is that, John Bolton?
It's interesting. Matt Clark from our legal team, he just texted me. He's one of my co-authors, along with Ben Sisney, in my book, The Next Red Wave. Andy's written books. My dad's written books. Stan has written books. You go through a major editorial process, and it can be frustrating at times, but it is the normal part of writing a book. And that's a book that doesn't contain classified national security information. And you go back and forth and back and forth, sentence by sentence, word by word. My dad's done it multiple times. Stan's done it multiple times. I've done it. Matt Clark and Ben Sisney have done it. Andy has done it before. And we're talking about books that don't include classified information. I mean, Dad, we were just talking about this idea that not only are we talking about the non-disclosures and the crime of disclosing classified information and the NDAs and the breach of contract, but also that the National Security Advisor, and this is in the brief on page 4, is really their job is to advise, this is a quote, and assist the president on national security policies and to serve as the president's arm for coordinating these policies. This is not just executive privilege we're talking about, Dad. This is like,
right.
This job defines deliberative privilege, which is much more protected.
Yes. So we did it, and when we all started first representing the president, we did a very comprehensive memo on deliberative privilege, executive privilege, and attorney-client privilege. And the fact is, you're right. This information just cannot just be released. It has to go through a review process. It has to be signed off by the government. If it's not, it doesn't go out.
All right, folks, when we come back, we're going to start taking your phone calls. What do you think about this move by John Bolton? Do you think the book should be released in this current form, that he wants to just put it out there, regardless of the classified information or the national security risk, and not wait for the review to go forward? Do you think there's another motive?
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's no surprise John Bolton's foreign policy did not line up all the time with President Trump's, though President Trump thought that he could be a good advisor in the sense that, again, kind of point, counterpoint, someone to discuss things through, even if they didn't ultimately agree. John Bolton ended up not being the right person for that position, but then he wanted to write a tell-all about everything, including attacking the president. That's one thing. Okay, you know that. And right before the election, we can, again, I think that I think there's bigger issues at stake here. He wants to see, one, how far he can go in pushing out national security information. It was a giant book deal, you know, multi-million dollar book deal, and it's right before the election, so he'll get a ton of attention. And again, at a time when it's actually tough to get a lot of that work because that he usually does in the speaking circuits and things like that because of COVID-19. But that's the side point, Dad. I mean, yes, he's trying to put it out before the election. If he wanted to say all these nasty things about the president and all of that and leave out the classified information, he probably could have gotten this book published.
You know, let's not forget, especially you, me, and Andy, let's not forget that we were dealing with John Bolton's book during what? The first day of the impeachment proceedings, the first days of the impeachment proceedings.
It was posted on Amazon that day.
Right. The exact day that the impeachment started, Andy, the book became an issue that we dealt with at the impeachment proceeding.
That's exactly right, Jay, because he had threatened to disclose information that would have impacted upon the impeachment because he is an opportunist. Let's face it. John Bolton is an opportunist. He is looking for the right time to make his splash. So he thought, well, maybe I can do it during the impeachment and derail the process that the United States Senate undertook through its constitutional responsibility. Well, it didn't work. So he waits a little longer and he says, it's getting near the election. My opportunity to besmirch the president is going to be lost. I got to have this opportunity to do it. And so avoiding all concepts of contract, all concepts of fiduciary duty, he makes a broad statement. I don't care what anybody says. This book's coming out June 23rd. Well, that may not be the case. A U.S. district judge may very well issue an order telling him, Mr. Bolton, you've had enough of your opportunism. You got to abide by your contractual responsibilities. This book ain't coming out. Very simple.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Julie calling from California on line 3. If you want to talk to us on air, have a comment, a question, or your thoughts, too, about the timing of it, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you, Jordan, and God bless all of your team. My concern is if this book is coming out after these events were just discussed in the last year or two with our president, it's our national security that they discussed. Does this not give countries like Iran, North Korea, Russia? We don't hear about discussions with their president, with their national security advisor. This will give them a leg up in how we think.
Well, I mean, this is what's interesting, Dad. This brings up, Than, another interesting point that, and Julie, I think you're right on. That, again, these are ongoing negotiations we're talking about. Ongoing. In North Korea, we saw them blow up that North Korea, South Korea facility right across the North Korean border yesterday. John Bolton was strongly opposed to those North Korea, to the meeting, the summits between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Now, what happened? Well, he got sidelined. He probably didn't like that. So while that summit was going on the second time, guess where he was? He was in Mongolia. So this is, again, I think he went to the first one, not the second one. And because he was opposed to it, he wanted to start this war with Iran. I mean, we have all these issues with China. And, Dad, I mean, Julie just hits the nail on the head. All of this is still ongoing. We're still dealing with China right now, even with COVID-19, with trade, with tariffs. We're dealing with North Korea. We are dealing with a national pandemic, international
pandemic. Yeah, this is a book that's dealing with real-time issues. Now, that's going to be one of his selling points. But, of course, the problem with that is it may be dealing with real-time issues, but those are real-time issues that, according to the complaint, involve classified, including top-secret information, and also could expose conversations under executive privilege or deliberative privilege that the president had with John Bolton. So, excuse me. So it's very serious that these allegations are being made, and I think that there's no question the court is going to take this very, very seriously. But Julie makes a very good point. And while you have current ongoing national security issues, and the ACLU points to the Pentagon Papers, well, there was a lot of differences between that situation and the current situation that we're now in.
Yeah, I mean, no, they're talking about, you were talking, the Pentagon Papers is like a report that someone, you know, that someone leaked out. We're talking about someone who had direct conversations. His job was to advise the President of the United States and, on national security and on the most classified information, and then ultimately implement the policy of the President of the United States. And when you put all that together, this is different than a document that the New York Times was able to release and publish. We're talking about someone's account of their conversations about classified information, breaking already their contract and their non-disclosure agreement, and not willing to go through, which, by the way, the White House is putting in a good faith effort to go through this. You can imagine, I bet this is about, Dad, the most difficult book for clearance purposes is a book written by a national security advisor who only left a year ago, who wants to write not just about foreign policy issues, but about his direct time at the White House, his conversations with the president on classified information and decision-making.
No, and no, you're 100% right. And the book's 500 pages. Let's not forget. Now, Andy and I and you have done books. And Andy, when you got 500 pages of publishable material, now it may not be publishable if, in fact, there's classified information in it. The process of going back and forth, as Jordan mentioned, with editors in a normal situation is extensive. But when you put on top of that classified information, information that is sensitive, information that affects ongoing situations we're in right now, China, South Korea, North Korea, the Middle East, that is sensitive information, conversations with the president. That all raises the specter of why the review has to be so thorough. And this rush to get the book out is, I think a lot of it is completely economically motivated.
Well, it is economically motivated. And again, it's an opportunistic move by Bolton to get his book out at what he believes to be the best timing given a political year and a political campaign. But as you said, and as the complaint says, Jay, this is what's called an iterative process. Iterative, which means it is a journey back and forth between the writer and the pre-publication reviewer in the government. This line is too sensitive to be published, and so that the world knows about it, take it out. He takes it out. So you go back and forth and back and forth. And again, as you point out, this is not a 100-page book. This is a 500-page intimate memoir by the National Security Advisor to the President. It takes time. Bolton doesn't want to wait. Too bad. He will.
Folks, we got second half hour coming up. A lot of phone calls coming in. We'll take those at 1-800-684-3110. Than will update us on that new piece of legislation in the U.S. Senate on police reform introduced by Senator Scott. So we'll have that when we come back. Sound from Attorney General Bill Barr about the Bolton book. We'll play that for you. If you could support the work of the ACLJ, donate today at aclj.org. You can make that donation again online at aclj.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
You know, there's one thing, too, I want to clear up here from the, you know, John Bolton's tried to embrace the ACLU, and he said, look at the ACLU. I mean, John Bolton actually put out a tweet saying, look at what the ACLU is saying about my book. I love the ACLU, you know, really smart idea, John Bolton. Get the ACLU involved in a dialogue with you. But then the ACLU cites the Pentagon Papers. And as Will, our producer, pointed out, and we've already pointed out that it's very different, but there's another huge difference to it. This lawsuit, Dad, is about John Bolton. He's the target. The leaker is the target of classified information, not Simon & Schuster or the publisher of the book.
Right.
It's John Bolton. So this is the ACLU got it totally wrong.
Yeah, this is not the situation you had where the Washington Post was going to print the Pentagon Papers. This is against the author of the material, who will then have affirmative obligations that he will have to make if the court issues the appropriate decrees. Now, it's before a judge that is on senior status, but very well respected, was appointed, I believe, by Ronald Reagan. And Andy, let's explain senior status.
Senior status means that a judge has achieved at least 10 years of service as a U.S. district judge, and they're entitled at that point to go into a senior role, which means a considerably reduced caseload if they want to. Senior status is not mandatory. There are judges who do not have that, but it means that they have a reduced caseload, but they get paid the same notwithstanding. So this has now been before a senior judge, which means that he's going to give it as much attention as he's given anything else. It's just that he's got less of a caseload.
All right, let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Pat calling from New York online too. Pat, thanks for joining us. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan and Jay and Andy, I believe it is.
Yep. Andy's on too.
Great. Can you hear me okay?
We got you, Pat.
Great. Yeah, I definitely support the ACLJ and have been for some time, and I'm glad you guys are on the front line. What my question is was John Bolton's copy released to the editors and copywriters already?
Dad?
Apparently the answer to that is yes, that it's actually, I think, in distribution houses right now. So the book was apparently, and again, this is what's in the complaint, reviewed by his lawyers, the publishers, the editors. I don't know if those people had security clearance. If they did not, I think that presents a serious problem. But my understanding is the book is scheduled to be released in like 4 days or maybe 5 days. And it is in the bookstores, not in the bookstores themselves, but in the warehouses. So,
yeah,
yes.
So think about that. I mean, the book is literally out, and publisher making this bold move to challenge the U.S. government. I think, again, it's supposed to come out Tuesday, June 23rd. I mean, we're talking about next week. I mean, so this will be a very quick legal action. Let me play Attorney General Bill Barr, why he thought, you know, this move was necessary for the Department of Justice. Take a listen.
People who come to work in the government and have access to sensitive information generally sign an agreement. They have to go through a clearance process before they can publish the book. And we don't believe that Bolton went through that process, hasn't completed the process, and therefore is in violation of that agreement.
I mean, so there you go. I mean, just, Dad, just one more time. I mean, for folks to understand, we've worked with John Bolton. Most folks in the conservative world have before. You can agree and disagree on some of his foreign policy decisions. Certainly a hawk, but at the same time, doing this to to our country and putting our national security at risk is setting such a dangerous precedent for future presidents. I don't care if you like Donald Trump.
I think
or
that's
not.
Right. No, I think that the precedent that this is setting is dangerous for the country. It's dangerous for the administration. It's dangerous for our national security. If the allegations, and I have no reason to believe that the allegations in the complaint are not correct, you don't do that. That's not the way it's done.
All right,
and John Bolton knows better than that, Frank.
Folks, we come back, an update from Than Bennett on the Justice Act, and we'll take more of your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. If you can support our work, donate online, ACLJ.org.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial at a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack. It's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. Look, we're going to go right back to the Bolton issue in just a minute, but we also want to cover very important news. Remember, yesterday we covered the president's executive order on police reform, specifically targeted at improving relationships within the African American community and other communities that have been either at troubled relationships with the police, underserved communities, and we went through that piece by piece. Now, we told you that these executive orders need teeth. They need kind of legislation to kind of put the idea of the executive order, like putting the mental health professionals in. They need teeth. They need legislation. Well, Senator Tim Scott, Republican from South Carolina, who himself, as an African-American, has said he has been pulled over a number of times for driving while black, is how he calls it. Driving while black. And so he's experienced this kind of harassment just because of the color of his skin. He's putting forward the legislation that provides the teeth to the executive order. Take a listen to Senator Scott, and then we'll get an update from Than Bennett on where this goes on Capitol Hill.
Too often we're having a discussion in this nation about, are you supporting the law enforcement community or are you supporting communities of color? This is a false binary choice. The answer to the question of which side do you support, it's I support America. And if you support America, you support restoring the confidence that communities of color have in institutions of authority. If you support America, that means you know that the overwhelming number of officers in this nation want to do their job, go home to their family. It is not a binary choice. This legislation encompasses that spirit. It speaks to the fact that we believe that the overwhelming number of officers in this nation are good people.
So, Than, let me go right to you in Capitol Hill. This legislation, again, providing the teeth to the executive order, it's something that appears the American people want from both sides of the aisle. But will Democrats try to stand in the way of this? So where does this go next? We also heard from Leader McConnell that he is pretty much fast-tracking this and saying, here you go. You've got your legislation, Democrats. Let's vote on it.
Yeah, that might have been the most significant thing that came out of this press conference today, Jordan. Let me back up just a minute, though. Senator Scott and Leader McConnell, along with other co-sponsors of the legislation, in rolling out the press conference, Senator Scott actually referenced what you just said, that he has been stopped this year for what he called driving while black. So he understands the frustration that's out there. But Jordan, he also very eloquently stated that most of this authority appropriately lies on the state level. So there's limitations to what the federal government can do. He applauded the president for leading the way with the executive order. And then you're correct, Jordan. He unveiled the Justice Act, which has 11 titles, and most of them deal with what we talked about yesterday, existing grant programs and new grant programs to incentivize state-based plans for both reporting abuse and then also mitigating abuse going forward, things like body cam, things like de-escalation training and the rest. Jordan, but maybe the most significant thing is what Leader McConnell did. He said to Democrats, he said, "You have been champions in words on many of these issues. I'm going to give you a chance next week to be champions in action." Most of us can agree on basically all of these 11 titles. There will be other things that we need to debate, but this legislation should get bipartisan support, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to support it next week on the floor. Jordan, it will need Democrats. You need at least 7 Democrats to invoke cloture to move forward. There will be a chance for them to do that next week.
Any thoughts on that then? Do we have any thoughts on if there's 7 Democrats yet there?
You know, the tone, unfortunately, from the leadership, Jordan, has not been a good one. Leader Schumer says the bill comes up short and he focuses on things that there's a debate on. I will tell you, though, I think there are individual senators who are considering whether to break with Leader Schumer. And quite frankly, I think the American people are probably an 80-20 split on this, and they need to reach out to those senators who are considering that now. Because, Jordan, you know this very well, but our listeners may not. The first vote on this is going to be to invoke cloture, not to end debate, but to actually have a conversation, get on the bill. Senators can then introduce amendments. This is at the bare minimum, Jordan. It's an issue that should be debated in the United States Senate. That's the very first vote that will be taken. Is the Senate willing to debate this?
I mean, Dad, I want to make sure that, you know, when this is, because this is going to happen next week, so maybe even over the next couple of days, Than puts together that list of Democrat senators, our folks, listeners, ACLJ members, who they should start calling. So, Than, let's start working through who we think are like maybe the top 10 for people to reach out to, and we'll start putting those names out tomorrow on the broadcast and online at aclj.org. Because, Dad, it is critical to get this reform going. It also is critical. If you like what was in the executive order, and I think most Americans did, this is what really fully implements it.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think it's due. So, I mean, part of what you have to do here is make sure that the process can go forward so that you can actually see progress. Andy, there is a lot of talk on these issues. The president and now Leader McConnell saying, let's do something on police reform. It's going to be very interesting to see if the Democrats actually line up to do it.
Andy, there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
This will be the true test of their fidelity to the Constitution and to the Republic as to whether or not they are willing to step forward, invoke cloture, and go to vote on the bill that Senator Scott and his co-sponsors have put together. I think it's a vital bill. It covers everything in its various titles that really need to be covered, and I hope that the senators on the Democratic side will realize that. It may not be an ideal bill for them, but at least it covers the basic fundamentals, and they ought to get on board.
You know, so again, we're gonna get ready with action items on this, Dad. We're gonna get our team ready for this as well. So expect that tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live and on ACLJ.org that Than will put together those Democrats that we need to have you reach out to who are maybe willing to break rank. We need 7 of them to break rank with the Chuck Schumer leadership of the Democrat Party to support the Justice Act and get this police reform moving. Dad, back to the Bolton issue. We got a lot of calls about it. We're going to take those in the next segment of the broadcast. So if you're hanging on the line, hang on. That's all we're going to do in that final segment is take your calls and questions. So hang on and do that. When you look at this kind of in the totality here, we're on a very short timeline. I mean, we're talking about he wants to publish this June 23rd. Now, a court could prevent that from happening temporarily by slowing this process down. Because as you said, it is usually an uphill bar to get things stopped.
Sure. I mean, you're looking at basically what's called temporary relief, a temporary restraining order, a temporary injunction, then a preliminary injunction. They may merge the temporary with the preliminary. They can do that. I've had that in hundreds of cases probably, where they've merged the temporary TRO with the preliminary injunction, and that gives then the parties time to work through it and then see if they can come to an agreement as to how the book could be published without the classified information. No one's saying John Bolton can't write a book. They're just saying you can't write a book that contains classified information, top secret information, or conversations he had with the president of the United States, which would be covered by deliberative or executive privilege. That's what this litigation is about.
All right. And then again, I'll go back to Andy on this too. I mean, Andy, when you look at the timeline, you've been on both sides, prosecution, defense, but you see such a short timeline, June 23rd, but you've got so many issues, breach of contract, you've got classified information, you have a review process, you have a White House saying that, you know, by the way, you agreed to go through this process. It's taking us a long time because you wrote a 500-page book in narrative form. Let us do this so that your book can be published, but stop pushing to try and publish this. And then you've also got the issue, Andy, that he may have already violated criminal law by sharing classified information with people that didn't have the security clearance to see it, especially if these books are at warehouses, that anybody that works at a warehouse can grab one.
Well, if you read the complaint, Jordan, the complaint says the book has been printed, bound, and given to the distribution places, and it's ready to go to the bookstores. That means somebody has seen that book and has read it, so he's already violated the law with respect to the pre-publication review that he contractually agreed to and under the federal guidelines for publication of sensitive material he is bound to. So he's already done that. But I expect that this will get a pretty quick review by the judge assigned to it, given the timeline. It's coming out the 23rd. Today is the 17th. That's 6 days. As Jay said, this could be the temporary restraining order, which would only be good for a limited time period, might be extended to an interlocutory or preliminary injunction, which means that that the injunction against publication will stay in place until the parties finally litigate the matter in its entirety. And that is what I predict a district judge will do. He will enjoin the publication, dissemination rather, I should say, of the book while the parties are litigating the question, and maybe even say it's going to be stayed until the National Security Council review is complete.
Folks, we've got a final segment coming up. We've got one phone line open, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to talk to us on air. For Teresa, Cindy, Bill, Pat, and Phil, stay on the line. We are going to take your phone calls on the Bolton matter. Also, an interesting comment from Senator Lindsey Graham talking to Democrats about police reform. We'll play that, too, when we come back from the break. I think it's important to hear. But focusing in on your phone calls on this Bolton and this legal move by the Department of Justice. I've been trying to give you a full analysis here, as well as his, you know, don't try to embrace the ACLU when you've been a conservative foreign policy interventionist for most of your career. That's one lesson for John Bolton. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Trying to sell more books by putting out classified information, maybe breaking the law, almost certainly breaking the law by sharing classified information with people without the security clearance to see it by, again, so if you believe the Department of Justice that the book contains classified information, well, people edited the book who were not did not have that clearance to see that classified information. The book was distributed, as they often are, for comment. Those folks didn't have the classification necessary. Then it was printed and bound. And so those folks certainly don't have the classification. Nothing against anybody. I don't have that classification either to see this information. So you've got these criminal potential. And all to sell a book. And let me remind you, as one of the attorneys during the impeachment trial for President Trump, which, by the way, acquitted by the U.S. Senate, I always like to add that, that this popped up on day one. John Bolton, his publisher, they published for the first time the cover and title of the book on Amazon the first day of the impeachment trial. Think that they were just trying to sell pre-order books, get attention? Then he tried to float out there that maybe he'd come testify. And then he said he would, even if he was subpoenaed, he wouldn't. So what was it all about? Money. And that's a sad thing when you got national security at risk, when you've got our classified information and you just won't go through the process. You can make your money. You can do your book. Go through the process. Stop trying to rush the government when you know, as National Security Advisor, you wrote 500 pages, tons of, in a narrative form with lots of classified information on national security and probably other breaches of contract, like sharing conversation you had with the president on classified information. So how about work with the White House, who's working with you, is not saying you can never publish this book, is saying, we need more time to work with you so that you can publish the book. We're going to take your calls on that, but I do want to play this from Senator Lindsey Graham, because tomorrow we're going to start taking action on the Justice Act from Senator Scott and start targeting those Democrats who could help us get this across the line. Let's hear from Senator Lindsey Graham, Bite 4.
To my colleagues on the other side who said, we talk too much, we don't need to listen anymore, where were you for the 8 years of the Obama administration? I'm getting a little tired of being lectured to by my Democratic colleagues that all this is Trump's fault. You had 8 years under President Obama, the Justice and Policing Act, none of it was taken up virtually. So let's knock that off. You're making no points with me trying to suggest that we're bad and y'all are not when it comes to this issue. You had 8 years. No attempts to ban chokeholds, no attempts to do any of the things that we all agree we need to do now. So if you want to fight about that, let's fight. If you want to admit that the country needs to move on together, let's do it.
I would hope the country will move on together. I have a feeling we will be fighting about this, and Joe Biden will have to answer to this as well. We'll play more about that tomorrow when we focus in on this and start targeting these maybe a dozen or so Democrat senators we believe could help push this legislation over the line. But I want to get right to the calls on Bolton. Let's go right in the order they've come in. Let's start with Teresa in Michigan. Teresa, you're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Mr. Bolton signed a contract of secrecy for the information that he has. What responsibility do the co-author and the publisher have to keep that information secret? Because I can see that being sold to the highest bidder.
So that's interesting. Andy, I mean, he signed the contract with the U.S. government on this national security information and the non-disclosures. Then he signs a contract with the publisher, you know, but the Department of Justice, Andy, is not trying to go after the publisher here. The Department of Justice is targeted on John Bolton because it is John Bolton who knew what he was doing was wrong.
That's exactly right, Jordan. If you look at the complaint, it is a three-count breach of contract and violation of fiduciary duty complaint. The government very accurately and very correctly says, I can't sue Simon & Schuster because I, the government, we did not have a contract with Simon & Schuster, but we had a contract with Bolton, and he is responsible for carrying out the obligations of the contract that he entered into. That is probably why Simon & Schuster, the publisher, is not a defendant in the case, because there is no contractual relationship. So once this is proven to be a contract that is enforceable, it's up to Bolton then to deal with his publisher, not the government.
All right, let's go right back to the phones. Pat in Florida on line 5. Pat, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks,
it's real quick, I just was wondering here, what happens if this judge does something completely opposite and said, go ahead and publish the book? What's the next option that the government has? We haven't been a good batting average with judges lately.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, again, Andy, you can appeal immediately.
You can appeal immediately to the D.C. Circuit, our favorite court, which we're so familiar with, the court that recently heard a case that we focused on with respect to matters arising in the administration, so that the government can ask for a certificate of immediate review to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, and I don't think that that would be denied. I think the judge would say, I'm going to stay my ruling until such a state publication of the book, until such time as the D.C. Circuit looks at it, and the D.C. Circuit will probably give it some expedited review. I expect that to happen if we get a bad decision from the senior district judge.
So again, let's keep going. We're just trying to answer your questions for you as quickly as we can. Cindy in California on line 2. Cindy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. If Bolton's book should get out before it's cleared, what kind of punishment, if any, could Bolton receive?
Yeah, this would be interesting, Andy, because if this starts leaking, and there was talk about that even during the impeachment trial, of portions of it leaking, Bolton himself could be in trouble. Again, it really does depend on who did the leaking for the legal liability. But there certainly are things like the Espionage Act and others that could potentially be used. But I want to make it clear, Andy, DOJ here is not trying to focus on the publisher, or it's not like trying to go after the New York Times or Washington Post with the Pentagon Papers. They're going after the guy they had the contract with. So if it were to leak out before it would approved, it would be Bolton who would bear that responsibility.
That's exactly correct. It would be Bolton. Bolton had the contract with the government. He should know better. He has a contractual obligation to allow pre-publication review to take place. Now, there may be, I don't know because I haven't researched it, but apart from the civil liability of breach of contract, which would mean losing and damages, giving all his profits from this to the government, there may very well be criminal penalties that he is looking at for having breached the duties, as you mentioned, under the espionage or other factors and laws that may exist that I haven't had an opportunity to look at that he may be facing. But he's going to be facing some liability, whether it be civil, criminal, or both, for what he did.
Well, I mean, they say in the brief on page 5, DOJ, unauthorized disclosure of classified info, this is talking about John Bolton, is also illegal and can result in criminal penalties. 18 U.S.C. Section 798. And that, you know, Bolton entered into these agreements knowing that they could, if you violated them, it could result in criminal charges and criminal penalties, and that it would be illegal. Folks, a great broadcast today. Enjoyed discussing this with you, analyzing it with you, going through the issues with you. I don't like that we're having to do this and it's about John Bolton. But the truth is, John Bolton, something happened there. I mean, tried to embrace the ACLU, for goodness sakes. Tomorrow, we're going to take action, join up with Senator Tim Scott and President Trump, and get this police reform through and get you motivated and get you activated on Jay Sekulow Live.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.